Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein, and we have a wonderful program, since it's the Zman of Aliyah L'Regel. So we're going to have four very interesting Rabbanim. We're going to have from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Rabin. He's a Talmud of Riverdale and of Brisk, and he leads an organization who goes on to the Har HaBayis. He says, what could be better? Lira's Pnei Azara, they go up to see. They don't go into the Azara because of Shilas of Tumah, but they go up to the Makam HaMikdash, and you can hear from him, he is, you know, not some frothing at the mouth liberal. He's one of the, you know, Riverdale and Brisk. Let's see what he has to say about it. We will have Rabbi Nachman Kahana, the brother of Rameya Kahana, Zichrono Livracha. He's the Mechaber, 15 volumes of Mei Menuchais. You've seen him in many yeshivas. The Mei Menuchas is a Pirush on Tosfos. He's also was the Rav for, like 32 years, Rav in the Old City in the Muslim Quarter. He's going to talk about both Aliyah L'Har HaBayis, Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman Hazeh, as well as the Sheet of the Bikur Yankif of being Mekayim, the Daraisa of Lulav, 7 days, if you're one of the fortunate people in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos. Rabbi Gavriel Bechhafer, a Rav, a speaker here in America, who will challenge those who go up to the Har HaBayis. And we will have Rabbi Yosef Greenwald, the Dayan in Givat Zev. He's on many Bezdins. He's a big Talmud Chacham. Also speak about Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman Hazeh. So it's a very relevant, particularly if you're one of those lucky people, again, to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want to be clear that I am a follower of normative halacha. I do not believe that going up to the Har HaBayis, I shouldn't say I don't believe. I go with, you know, the das of almost all the Rabbanim of our generation. But as I always said, if somebody leaves, they are doing something and they have Makairis al-Pi Halacha, so we present all opinions. Here's something interesting. You know our hotline, which gets thousands of calls a day at this point, we now have one in England. So if you're in England, you dial 011-702-50. That's 011-702-50 to get our hotline. And now we have one in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of people complain. Here's Eretz Yisrael hotline number. 02-372-0304. And you can listen to all our programs on the phone. Before we go, I do want to say, Vart, you know, we just finished the holy holiday of Yom Kippur, right? Yomim, the Lo Yechad Mehem was the greatest day of the year by Klal Yisrael, the day when we actually Raya Pnei Hashem, everybody on an individual level. I want to say, Vart, and everybody has a Rebbe, a Rav. There are those many who don't do anything, they say, without Das Torah. I want to speak about a different Rebbe. And since this is a little bit of a cutting-edge program, I want to speak about a very great Rebbe who most of you never really heard of. And he's a very current Rebbe because he had big issues in his personal life, very big issues, that some of them we may have discussed in the past. And it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And I'll sort of quote the Gemara in English, because we're an English program. The Gemara says, there was a fellow, his name is Eliezer ben Dordai. And he was what they would call today a porn addict. It says, Shalohaniach Zayna Echas Ba'alam Shalai Ba'alah. There wasn't a prostitute in the world that he wasn't intimate with. Imagine, in the world. Right? Talk about somebody who had serious issues. Pam Echas, one time he heard, Sheesh Zayna Echas Ba'archeyam. There's a woman of ill repute on some distant island, maybe Greece, maybe Rhodes. And she was the most expensive one that there is. And he says, well, so he went all the way to Greece. You know what it's like in those days on the Nino Pinto into Santa Maria? This is some big Baltaiva, a major, major Russia, a major addict, right? He went over Sheva Naharis, the Gemara says, seven rivers. And during their intimacy, she said to him, you, Rebbe Lezer Mendedoy, they will never accept you as tshuva. You're gone. You're the most derelict. You're the most disgusting, derelict, irresponsible, just an awful human being. You're like anything wrong that could be about a person is you. So Halach ben Yashuv ben Shnei Harim, he sat between two mountains and hills, and he said, Bakshua le'rachmim. He started sensing remorse. So they said, wait. We have our own problems. So he said, Shemayim v'aretz, Bakshua le'rachmim. So they said, wait, we're also too busy. So he said, Chama olavana bekshua le'rachmim. No, we also can't. So he said, he put his head between his knees. He began to repent. He cried and he says, Ein hadava tali elabi. Nobody wants to help me. It's all up to me. Haniach roshay bein birkav until yatsisa nishmasai. And it came a baskel, yatsisa baskel from heaven, v'amra, Rebbe Elezer ben Durdoi, mizuman ata l'chaya l'maba. You're a Rebbe, and you're mizuman l'chaya l'maba. And it says, the Gemara says, l'idayan l'bali tshuva shemakabal nation al shekayur nation Rebbe. The Gemara remarks on it. So I have the following question. What did he do that made him a Rebbe? I mean, he was a... It's true he did tshuva. A Rebbe? I mean, what did he... To be a Rebbe, you have to teach somebody. I mean, we understand that this person was a immoral, depraved, debauched, pervert of a person. And he did tshuva. That's wonderful. We're not going to throw you out of shul. We'll put you in the back. We may even give you an aliyah sometime. But Rebbe? I mean, well, isn't that stretching things? And I want to suggest something. It says he went to sit in the mountains, and they said, what was he doing by the mountains, And you know, I'll tell you what he was doing. Everybody has a list of excuses. My mother didn't love me enough. My father was too busy for me. My parents were too controlling. They were there for me. They were too on top of me. They were controlling. They weren't there for me. My school was terrible. My rabbeim, the worst imaginable. The teachers totally checked out. My teacher hated me. We were very poor. We were very rich. I had too many opportunities. I wasn't good looking. I wasn't smart enough. I just didn't get it. I couldn't make it. That my brother was smarter. I was too pretty. I was distracted. I married the wrong person. I didn't get an education. The family business I went into controlled me. I didn't have one to start me off. Right? It was... I had no zitzfleish. I couldn't do well. You want excuses? Call Hillary Clinton. She'll give you excuses. It was the Russians. No, it was the bloggers. It was Comey. It was he didn't release his tax returns. It was Bernie Sanders. All the excuses there are. He goes to Gevoyis and Harim. Chazal always say, Gevoyis Elohim Mois, Harim Elohim. Obviously, it was my parents. They didn't do a good job. Everybody who doesn't have issues with their parents, as Lassad Lavi, Elio is going to be Levavi Salbanim. Everybody has issues with their parents. Their siblings, forget. It was Shemayim versus God. God wasn't good to me. It was my partner was in business. He went everywhere looking for excuses. And then they all said, you know, we can't help you. He put his head down. He said, Ein hadava tali elabi. It's only me. It was me. It was me. And you know what? I think that's why he's called Rebbe. He realized that his responsibility was his own hands. He took achrayas for himself. He took ownership of his own existence. That's the gift of Rebbe Elizabeth. That's the teaching of Rebbe Elizabeth today. And you know why that's so relevant? Besides the fact that it's a story of tshuva? Yom Kippur is a great gift to Klal Yisrael. It's the tachlis of Ahava. Many rayas to this. Yom Chasunasa. It's the day, you know what the gift God bestows on us, Rebbe Nishon bestows on us in Yom Kippur? It says, V'chayseim yad kol adam bay. You know, the Gemara in Tainis and Afir Aleph says, who signs? It doesn't say Hashem signs. It says you sign, I sign, everybody signs. You know what the Shalah says? The Tzlach. They say everybody. It says who writes in the book? V'choseim yad kol adam bay. You know who writes? Everybody sits down on Yom Kippur. And they are writing what the year is going to be. You want to have a year? It's his fault. It's the other fault. It's this. It was the cheesecake. I couldn't go to the gym. It was raining. I have no time. I can't afford a membership anyway. And besides, I'm so overweight. What's it going to help? The Kaise v'Kaisem Yad Kol Adam by the Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we write. What? It's not his. It's Ein Hadava Tully Elabi. Right? I'm going to show you on the website. We'll bring Gemaras, Rishonim, that Taish this way. No. And you know what happens when people take responsibility? First of all, they get the respect of others. The laughing stock of the country. Hasn't Hillary Clinton become a laughing stock? You know, when there's somebody at work, they say, why didn't it get done? Well, it was this, it was the cat, the dog. You start to lose respect. But I'll tell you a much deeper meaning besides other people. You know what it is? We become unempowered if it's everybody else's fault. It's the weather, it's my parents. That means I'm just a victim. I have no power. But if we say, Ein Hadava Tully Ella B, write it. You know what that means? I have now been given a tremendous gift. Ownership of myself. Ownership of my day. Ownership of my goals. That's the gift that we are given by the Kaisa V'Chaisim Yad Kol Adam. That's what we're told on Yom Kippur. We lose our powerlessness and we get control of our own life. And this is tremendously, for us it's good, besides being admired. You know, Hashem tells Adam Arishin by the first chait, Koil Hashem Aleichem is halach begun. And what does Adam say? Ha'isha asher nesati imadi. Wasn't me. It was her. And where is the beginning? Who is the leadership of Klal Yisrael go to? Who do we respect? Who is ownership? Yehuda. He's accused, rightfully so, of getting his daughter-in-law pregnant. What does he say? Tzadka mimeni. I did it. I'm responsible. I have ownership. I have ownership of my life. The buck stops with me. So what does the Torah tell us? What does Chazal tell us on Yerushan and Yom Kippur? It says, everybody is a sefer. Zeh sefer told us, Adam. The Shulah writes, every night we go up to heaven and we write in front of the Kisei HaKavod what we did. It. Everybody has a sefer. So we have a choice. We could hand somebody else the pen, your mother, your father, your coworker, and say, write for me my biography. You write it. I'm out of control. Or the Kaisev, we give you the pen. On Yom Kippur, I'm giving the pen and I'm saying, I could write whatever I want. Ein Hadava Tully Elabi. And this is why he was called Rebbe Elazar Ber Dudai. He's my Rebbe. He taught us that any addiction, perversion, anything we have, we all have the ability to fix. For that, he is called the Rebbe. It's happened 2,000 years ago, and the message is as current as if it happened yesterday. Let's all have a fabulous year. Let's take the message of Shmini Yom Kippur. Everybody, pick up a pen and say, I am responsible. It's only up to me. I am going to be Kaisev Yad Kol Adam Bay. Let's have a wonderful Yontif and go to our fabulous program. We have on the phone with us from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, Harav Yosef Shalom Rabin, who's originally an American. He learned in Riverdale by Rav Osban for many years. Then he was a Talmud of Rav Meir Soloveitchik. He's now very involved in the organization Tel Talpiyos. Everybody who says Hashanah is no Tel Talpiyos. Hashanah is by Yitzchak. It refers to the Makom HaMikdash. And he'll tell us that there are many mitzvahs that we can do by going up to the Har HaBayis. Instead of me making your case, why don't you make it for yourself? Welcome, Rabbi Rabin.
Oh, Shalom Aleichem.
So can you tell us about your organization and what it does?
Okay, so basically, about 2 years ago, I started getting more involved in the nosei of going up to Har HaBayis. And more specifically, I guess when I saw a video once of a cheder of chassidim that were brought up to Har HaBayis, and I started wondering about this, you know, what's this Indian of going to Har HaBayis, and is it, you know, everyone says it's also, but these look like Truma Yidden. I found out later this was connected to the Belzer family, Yosef Elbrun. And then I heard about Yehuda Glick, and I saw he seems to be someone who's a Shemitah Mitzvah, and he's very busy with Har HaBayis. And I had also been, during that Kufa, I had been getting a little close to the Zilgum and Kehila in the old city, and I started learning a Sefer Kol HaTorah, which was a Sefer put out by the Talmidei HaGro. Officially, it's basically the Torah HaGro passed down to the Talmidim of Nachman HaMishkoa V'chu, the Talmidim that came to Eretz Yisrael, which talks about various things as they were supposed to do in preparation for the Geula. And there's a concept that's mentioned there of Yisru'usa D'Ratata. that Kaviyachu, the process, there's two processes to the Gula. There's the process of Mashiach ben Yosef, followed by the process of Mashiach ben David. And the process of Mashiach ben Yosef is a Gula that's B'deich HaTeva. There's actually a going in Tikkun Ezer, I believe it is. It says that the Gula Hasidah is going to be mamish like the Gula of the Bayashani of Koyrish Berishin Malchi Arumos, the going says. And we all saw in started with the Balfour Declaration, followed by the resolution of the UN in 1948, that something's happening over here. And the main all these things led me to start thinking about, so what does Ayachas have to be to Har HaBayis, especially since 1967, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nisim Nisim, pretty much gave us the Har HaBayis. And I started getting involved in the sugya, and after much research, I came out that there definitely is a makom to allow people to go to Har HaBayis. There's definitely a place on Har HaBayis that's mutter to enter. And Kechol HaNeh, as Koydim called the first aspect, you know, Dovra HaMelech already says, V'ani kivis v'kim mitev, coming close to Hashem is the best thing in the world, is the most important thing as a Yid. And Kamuvim, besides for the understanding of that, the Ruchnis, there's a Kaviyocha Kodesh Baruch Hu has a place with Gashmis, and Mochem HaShebocha Hashem, Shakim HaShemor Yisham, there's a place that we could come, and by coming to that place, we're getting as close Kaviyocha to the Shechina of Hashem as we can. That's the Ezra Zach. The more you understand this music, the more you feel a chukka to want to come as close as you can. On top of that, you have the element of Drishas Tzion. You know, the Gemara tells us, Darshan of the Pasuk, in Eicha Tzion Hi Deresh Eilo, Mechlau Deboi Drisha. We have to be Deresh Tzion. And there's two aspects to that. First of all, there's the aspect of developing, being mispowered for Yerushalayim, for Binyan HaMikdash. Look at our tzimis. Our tzimis are full of tzimis, yearning for the Mikdash and karbonis v'chule. And on top of that, there's a physical aspect of Pasha being based at seeing Sai coming to the Etzim place, and also being a viral. Where is the Makom HaMikdash? You know, the Gemara says, the Shechmei Sidjushu Vata Shama, Leich Vetidjush, Achakach Yemi L'chanovi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Dovid HaMelech, first go and try to find a place, and then Yemil Chanovi, another will come and be revived to you. So there's a Kaneh, there's an Indian here to be Mitzadrish Tzion, to come and be revived to Mokma Mikdash, and come close to the Mokma Mikdash, and Kaviyach HaShua HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zichir Michu Tukichinsky actually writes in his Sefer, when he's discussing if there's a Chiyah of Bizman HaZeh to build Beis HaMikdash, which Kipshute there is. Rambam says it in the beginning of Hilchos Beis Habchir, Vasuli Mikdash Mishachanti B'Sorichom, but he says, L'chol HaPachis, we're mochizim Mishtada as much as we can towards Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'Maisa. That's another Indian. On top of all these
Indian... Wait, you're going quickly, I just want to ask you a few questions. Rabbi Chil Michal Tikashinsky, who you just wrote, and he wrote the Sefer on the Har HaBayis, states emphatically not to go up. Just... record, right? Now, you talk about to be Dairish Tzion. I mean, who says Dairish Tzion means to go up to the Har HaBayis? And I mean, that doesn't say any place. I mean, it could mean to go to Eretz Yisrael. It could mean to go to Yerushalayim, which is Machne Yisrael. I mean, where is the... How do you connect the dots from
in the film, yeah. I'm not saying that... I'm not saying that it says specifically somewhere that the Kipshut Tzion refers to the Makom HaMikdash, and I'm just saying that it could be very much understood that an element of Tzion, I mean, if you the Derech Klal, somebody wants something. For example, you want a very nice Esrig. So you say Tzion Tu B'Shvat for a very nice Esrig. But besides for saying a Tzion, you see people standing in hours looking at the Shregen with a magnifying glass, with this, with that, in lines. In other words, they're doing something physical to show, to try to find this beautiful esrog. So, Kipshutei Drisha Tzion, besides for the yearning that we express through Tzion, is also has an expression physically of coming to the place of Makom HaMikdash and showing that we want to be close and we want to have Beis HaMikdash. I'm not saying it's a mafurish chazal or something, but the oyfen of Drisha Tzion is.
So, what are the mitzvahs you would be Mekayim? I know that there's. They print as okay, a lot of mitzvahs to be Mekayim. Let's go through them, yeah?
First of all, before the Etzem dealing with Makom HaMikdash, we have the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Right now, the Mohammeds, obviously today, just in general, Mohammeds today are not fought the same way as Mohammeds were fought, a couple hundred years ago, a couple thousand years ago, for sure. A lot of Mohammeds today are fought politically. And what that means is that in order for, you know, governments to want to express sovereignty and have a shaykh at a certain place, they have to have a reason to do that. Now, today, one of the main reasons why Israel is holding on to the Harabayas and not completely giving back to Jordan is because of the 15,000-16,000 Jews that visit there a year. And if nobody would show an interest in Harabayas B'chlal, there's a very good chance they would at least hand over to a greater extent the Makom HaMikdash to the Goyim, to Jordan. And so, first of all, by coming there, it's definitely adds to the kibush, it increases the pressure on the Israeli government to hold on to Harabayas. And slowly, slowly, the more people get involved, the more people are going there and caring about Harabayas. So there's more of a chance that the government will take more steps to slowly strengthen the sovereignty, and then that could lead us to the next mitzvah of being Megarish Tmeim and not allowing people, especially enemies of Klal Yisrael, to use the Makom HaMikdash as a center for terror and for other terrible things that go on there, and it will take away the Chilul Hashem that's happening right now in the Makom HaMikdash. I mean, I don't know if you know, there's videos of people playing, of kids saying Sakir Mamish Kamal in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is obviously a terrible thing. So all this is part of a process of Kodem Kol strengthening the sovereignty and by thereby being the time and element of Kibush, and faith is bringing us to the
Yechonos
and the Garish people.
Kibush Eretz Yisrael, are these the Belza who took their family up to the Harabayas, did their kids go to the army because of mitzvahs Kibush Eretz Yisrael?
Okay, I personally, I don't know.
Did you go to the army?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story with me. I actually wanted to go to the army, but my wife wasn't interested. But again, I 100% believe in the army and everything. My only plan in the army is, right now, I'm sure you're aware of the whole dispute going on between the different camps within Karabin. And right now, unfortunately, the matter of the army is, I think personally it's part of the fact that the Karabin are not more involved. That's a whole other story, but it's very hard to have a kosher, a siva right now in the army that a ben toyer could go there and not be mushta and lose his ruchnis and come back differently. Unfortunately, a lot of people have gone off the derech as well. So that might definitely be a reason why, despite the fact that there's a tremendous mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael and reason to go to the army, perhaps right now it's not an available option.
Know that Rav Kook, who we would both agree was Rav Eretz Yisrael, when he writes about Aliyah L'Harabayas, when he came out with his Kol Kaira, so somebody asked him, and it's in the Sefer, he says, I kibush Eretz Yisrael. So he said, well, if you control it, it's kavush. There's no kibush. It's something that you control. I mean, if you rent your...
Which of Cook are you referring to? Rav Tzvi Yehuda?
Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Okay.
Because Rav Mitzvah, they didn't have control yet.
Yeah.
His Tshuva was a whole different thing. He was Montefiore, he was going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and was a whole different Bayah over there.
Shul Salant, I was saying, it's his son, said,
yes.
he came out with a Kol Kaira, not allowed to go up, a printed Kol Kaira from Rav Kook, not to go up. It doesn't mention anything about, but he said, there's no kibush, it's something that you control. If you rent your apartment out to somebody, it's still yours. So
right.
The fact that we allow, for political reasons, we allow the Arabs to go. It's not just for political reasons. We hold that you're not allowed to go up, most people. So it's Adarab. It's a way to keep people out of there. But that's certainly, he's positioned with this. That's not mitzvah's kibush Eretz Yisrael. We own it.
Right. So basically you're asking what has changed in the last 50 years, if I understood your point correctly. Okay, so first of all, the Mamish of Cook, I mean, you can hear the recordings. I just heard them. It was Mamish Moedic to hear. Well, in 67, when they captured the Harabayas, the Arabs weren't running. They had everything. It was very clear that the Israelis were in control there. And Adarava, they recently interviewed some Arabs that were living in the old city then. And they said in the wildest dreams, they never had a Havamina that Israel would give back the most prized possession. They couldn't believe it. The Imamish, they were shikr. They thought it was Meshuggah. But in any case... So in those days it was very clear Israel had the final win on Harabayas. What's happened over the years, especially since Ehud Barak's whole idea of the status quo and international pressure, etc., the Temple Mount has succeeded in becoming a place of a lot of worldwide debate and discussion. And Ad Kedei Kach, I mean, we just saw a couple months ago UNESCO could come and say You know, Israel doesn't even have a connection officially to the Temple Mount. So basically what I'm saying is that, yeah, it might have been at that time when Yehuda wrote his, you know, wrote what he wrote, it was understood clearly that Israel was the complete Babylon. But I think anyone today who's connected to the, following the political situation, it's very clear that it's not so partial that Eretz Yisrael has control of Harabayas. Unfortunately, just this past week, we saw how two policemen were killed, and they can't even succeed in putting up metal detectors without having the whole machlokes about that. So there's definitely some kind of kibush that there is left to do. What extent of a kibush is considered kibush? To say that, and that's a whole naysay in itself. I never learned the whole sugya ba'emes, but from what I understand, there is definitely one of a kibush. There is definitely kibush that is left to be done here.
And by by marching up there with a few people, you hold that's Bekayim Kibush.
First of all, it's not a few people. Baruch Hashem now,
okay, with a few
on a daily
people,
basis.
That's Kibush.
First of all, that's what I said a shtick like Dama about the what is Kibush today. You have to understand, I mean, I don't know how much you follow the inside of Israeli politics. I am a shtick with Keshe of Yehuda Glick and other politicians, and I like the saying I like to say, actually, Lahavdil from... Neil Armstrong on the moon, but I like to say one small step on Har HaBayis is one giant leap for the Jewish people, because we think it's a small thing, a few people marching up. You have to understand, it's a tremendous statement. But going back to what I was saying, so you're going up there with police, that also requires the government to have all the gates surrounded with police, and they have to have Seder up there. I mean, they used to even have a police station up there until it was riots a couple years ago, and basically, Netanyahu let them burn it down. Again, all of this requires the government to be involved, actively involved, and make sure it's safe for Jews, and they also, unfortunately, they let tourists up also, to come to Arabaya. So, yes,
okay.
I think it's a clear way of achieving...
The what's the next bits for what other mitzvahs are there?
Okay, so getting to other mitzvahs. Yeah, so first of all, there's mitzvahs that we can even climb up there, you know, even with Arabaya and Mikdash. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Yerideya, Simon Reish Lamed Vav, where the Chassam Sofer was asked about being Korban Pesach. Even before Korban Pesach, there's the mitzvah of, rule of an Esrik, you could be Mekayim Beresa. The mitzvah of Umikdashi Tiro, according to Kamal Rishonim, I understand, is Dafka. If you're in the Makom HaMikdash and you're keeping the mitzvahs over there, there's a Rambam that says, L'shichnei Sidjishu Vasa Shama, is a mitzvah of being mavaka in the Makom HaMikdash. More importantly,
Shulchan Aruch Hashem is on the Makom HaMikdash, not on the Har HaBayis. Did you go into the Makom HaMikdash too?
No, so we don't go into the Makom HaMikdash. I understand that there's a shaila about that, if it's dafka in the Makom HaMikdash or even the Har HaBayis. But look, I mean, if we go to the Har HaBayis, so slowly we could get the Yecholus to eventually be able to come to the actual Makom HaMikdash.
Now,
it's all part of a process.
Do women go with you too?
So again, there's amongst the Kohanim that do go up to Har HaBayis and discuss going to Har HaBayis, there is a dispute if women should go, but at the end there is a chalas for women to be entire themselves. I mean, the Haraya, they went up to this man, so they said, make this,
when you go often?
I go usually about once a week.
So when you go once a week, are there women as part of the group?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, so Anisha Need is not allowed
all women that go up, as far as I know, the Matarik HaLocha.
And are the single women go?
So most single women don't go. It's much less common, because obviously, for obvious reasons, since most single women are not going to mikvah. But if a single woman wants to go, then they could follow the HaLocha just like a married woman. And,
I mean,
you don't think
that you have ignorant people going who don't know the halachas?
So again, since I'm there very frequently, I pretty much know the people going, come out all the people going, and I'm in touch with, I'm part of a little Google forum, and there's information going around all the time. People, every single day, they're counting everyone, how many Jews went up. We're counting, the Arabs are counting, the police are counting. So... again, is there nobody that went up Shleik HaLochah by mistake, something this, that? Yes, there's, I'm sure there are a person here and there or something, but most of the people that I know, I would say 95% of the people are going to HaLochah, being mounted on the HaLochah, and there's no reason to assume that they're doing things Shleik HaDin.
Okay.
Again, for those people that are not, that's not
what
they do.
Anida, Yoldis, Abal Keri, I mean, it goes on and on, the HaLochah of who can't go on to the Har HaBayis.
Of course, it's a complicated thing. But again, anytime you want to come closer to Kedusha, it comes with complications. You have a choice. You could either say, you know what, it's not for me, I'm not going to start up, and then be Maskir HaRabayis, or you could be Mitmoded and say, look, we have to learn the halachos, we have to try our best to do things kedin, and, you know, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. I mean, someone told me, Gevaldik and Marshall, about this Nekuda. He said, you know what, one of the times that Abonim say, they say, you know, we shouldn't go to HaRabayis because even if we know where everything is, and even if we can tie ourselves, but if we're going to start going, so there's going to be people that are not going to know the halachas, and maybe they're going to go into places they're not going to go, they're not going to be matar properly, the chulit, maybe it's not kedai. He said a good mosque, he said that, he said, you know, okay, so we know that there's halacha of neither. So, you know, maybe people shouldn't get married, because if we're going to get married, so the chilonim are going to see the fum got married, they're going to get married, then there'll be michil and neither.
Well,
so maybe you shouldn't get married, Bechor.
Okay, so let me respond to that.
So what's the answer? The answer is, obviously, marriage is a very important thing, and because of Achshas, which might come out of that, we're not doing for marriage because of that. So I think if we would understand that our ketchup with Beit HaMikdash is like a marriage with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then I think there's a... Yeah.
Rebbe, respectfully, the Gemara says that they wanted to be mevatel marriage after the Churban. They said, how could anybody? So they said it. So the Gemara says they realized it was impossible, right? So to say,
okay.
And therefore they were matir, even though after the Churban we shouldn't have simcha and we shouldn't have children, the Gemara says it's impossible. It's
right.
Not impossible not to go up to the Harabayas, and 99.9999% of Haredim don't go up to the Harabayas, so it's clearly very possible.
I'm not
saying
it's impossible,
marriage,
my question's not
whoever yeah. Asked the question on the Yazdaiti is really is making an undue comparison. But let's go back to the mitzvahs. Yeah, kibush haaretz.
Well, one second, but I think what you madama there is, from what I understand, the Gemara is being levatel for reasons of simcha, nachon?
Simcha and post churban. Yeah, the Gemara said we should.
Yeah, I'm talking about all this in the kuda. I'm talking about now of achshash, and it being good is because of achshash. And what I'm trying to say is that just like we understand that for achshash, we're not going to be levatel marriage because it's something so much more important.
No, because it's impossible to be mevatel marriage.
Oh, so because we see our disconnection from mikdash as something that's possible.
It's
possible to live without a mikdash.
Right.
Maybe that's not the right way to look at it. We're supposed to look at mikdash as it's a third of the mitzvahs that play. It's something we're daven for every day. We're sitting now, avelis on the churban. And what does that mean, lemaisa? Can you hear that special lemaisa?
But Rabbi Rabin, you're not being makariv karbonis because you can't. Because the only way you could build the Beis HaMikdash, notwithstanding the Chassam Sofer's famous tshuva where he was speaking about bringing carbon, we don't, because it's only after there's Malchus Beis David, right? The Rambam says there's a succession.
Not the question. The Shragafival Frank has a whole country that's bringing Beis HaMikdash, that's named Malchus Beis David.
And
that's definitely not makariv karbonis.
We don't have Makam HaMikdash. Ramam, Lashon Ramam is Makam HaMikdash, Meduyik, B'yoyser.
Makam HaMizbeach, Mechovim B'yoyser.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't have a Mizbeach.
Oh, so we could go up there. You Mavad HaMizbeach in 20 minutes, Mr. Thomas.
How could you be Mavad HaMizbeach?
We could go up there.
It was not Alpi Navi, the Gemara says. You have a Navi?
So first of all, there's a whole mind on Tchumen about that. One of the Hobbins wrote. I don't remember all the Pirtei Pratim, and Koydim Kol, it's not 100% clear what exactly the Novi showed.
Where is
so,
the
yes, we believe that we could be Mavar. Yeah.
Where do you believe the Kodesh HaKadoshim is?
We believe the Kodesh HaKadoshim is under the Dome of the Rock. There's Kama writings about that from the times of Churban, Va'arayim, in Jewish sources, Christian sources, Muslim sources, pretty much anyone that was here. Adam Cole just start by saying that building built over the evidence, what we believe to be the evidence to see over there, that building itself, Agav, a lot of people make this mistake. They think that building is Al-Aqsa. That building has nothing to do with Al-Aqsa. Al-Aqsa is on the southern tip of Harabais. One of the things that's hard to, when you're discussing the city of Harabais, if you don't have maps in front of you, that's where we do the slideshow. It's a little bit hard to follow, but everyone will be able to help cop. That building was built 1,300 years ago by the first Muslim conqueror called Omar ibn al-Khattab and in 691. And he came, it's written in many sources, he came and asked the Jews that were living there. He was very good with the Jews. There was a lot of Jews that fought in his army because they suffered from the Christians, and he was good with the Jews. And he asked the Jews that were living there, show me what is this big rock over there? And they told him it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And with that, he built the special building that's on top of the Kippah HaSeret called El Hanan al-Sharif, which means Holy Shrine. and in many places referred to as Beit al-Maqdis, which means in Arabic Beit al-Mikdash. So it is, quote unquote, when we're having the Sayyid, which again, I don't think we have time on this phone to go through all the Makayas anyone wants to see in the countries that we have and many others phone that we'll put out, there's a Gevaldig in the Sayyid that under that Dome of the Rock was the Makam HaMikdash, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
The huge problem with that is if that is the Makam of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, comes out that it's negative the Mishnah in Tamid, because the Merchak from the Kaisel HaMizrahi until the Srug on the Kaisel HaMaravi would be less than the Kaisel HaMizrahi, and that goes negative the Mishnah in Talmud, which is what everybody asks on the Rabbah.
You have to explain me the Kasha. I don't fully understand the Kasha. I could show you exactly how everything fits according to this Chesed. But explain me the detail. What's the Kasha exactly?
If the Kippas HaSela is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that means that the whole Makam of the Mikdash, right?
How big was the Mikdash? Kuf Lamed. You have the Azor, which is the Chiyuv Kodesh of the Rites. Is Kuf Lamed Hei by Kuf Pei Hei, right?
No. Kuf Lamed Hei is the Ezra Yisrael by Kuf Pei Hei.
No. The Azor is Kuf Lamed Hei Amos by Kuf Pei Hei, by Kuf Pei Zayin. The Ezra Yisrael was Kuf Lamed Hei by Kuf Lamed Hei.
Kuf Lamed Hei, exactly. So
that was Ezra Yisrael. The Azor was Kuf Lamed Hei by Kuf Pei Zayin. Now, the only place where there's an Isra Chorus is the Azor. Ezra Yisrael is the Gvir Medavon.
Exactly.
So now what's the Kasha?
The Kasha is that the distance between the Kaisel HaMaravi, the western.
What is the Kaisel HaMaravi, first of all? What is that?
The western wall of the Har of the.
I'm just saying. What according to you? What are you considering that? The western wall of Har Chavos Hordes, the Tav Kuf Amma.
If it's that, it would be the Tav Kuf Amma L'chayra.
Okay, so we're going with the Chesed, which
but not,
is very
not
clear.
About,
if you look
I'm
at the Mishkan, that's the Chlal Map. You think that's the Chlal Map, the Tav Kuf Amma? The Kaisel HaMaravi that we all go to. Is that Chavos Hordes? That is a small part of a wall that's almost 500 meters long, and the width is almost 300 meters wide.
I'm not talking about that Kaisel HaMaravi. I'm talking about the Kaisel HaMaravi of the Chayma that goes around the Harabayas.
That's
right?
The only Chayma that goes around. That Chayma.
So not the one.
You're talking about the Kaisel HaMaravi.
I'm not talking about where you go daven. I'm talking about the Chaymas HaMaravi.
The Chayma, that's the only Chayma that we see today.
Right, so if you go to the Kippas HaSela and you go back to the Chayma, right, Amaravi, the western wall, right?
Yeah.
It's only a few amis. It's 20 amis or so from the end of where the Ezra Yisrael would be of the Machne Shechina till the western wall. If it's so far west, if the Kippas HaSela. If the Kodesh HaKadoshim is where the Kippas HaSela is, comes out that the entire Azara is very west, and which means the eastern side, there's going to be more room on the eastern side than on the western side.
Today it's Fakir, because Hordes was Marchiv Kipshutri, the southern side, the northern side, and the western side.
Well, not according
this
to the
This is a view...
Well, according to the Chazanish, it's Tav Kuf Amma, the 330 meters that it goes across is almost exactly Tav Kuf Amma. Fits exactly.
Doesn't go 330 meters, it goes close to 300 meters wide.
The 290 meters, right? The 290 meters, which goes through the middle, is almost exactly Tav Kuf Amma, which is a raya, by the way, to the Chazanish's sheet in the size of a centimeter is 58. So if you it goes literally from wall to wall according to the Chazanish.
Could that make sense?
I'm sorry?
Could that make sense? Was the Beit HaMikdash from wall to wall?
Not the Harabayas would be from wall to wall, yes. It's exactly where
okay, so now the best is dropping into a big sugya, and I don't know if it's a sugya that we can handle. I mean, it's very hard to handle on the phone. I'll try my best.
So let me ask you a question. There are around seven sheetas as to where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, right?
I wouldn't call the other one Shitas, but the same.
Okay, you have the famous Radvaz, right?
The Radvaz, you have to understand something. What I was trying to say before is that Radvaz is not saying his own day. He says the ancient Sufic Klal that this heaven has been Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was being so Mechana Mesirah that was the day. So it sounds very...
You.
It doesn't sound good because it's not his, it's not his Rabbi's Chiddush.
You have the Marit, there's two opinions in the Marit where it is. You have the, then you have those who went with Rav Gora, and he brings a whole bunch of rayas that the Evan Shasiya is the Makam HaMizbeach. One of the rayas is, because the Gemara says that under the Mizbeach there was the Shitin where the Dam went in, and they actually went down there and they found a Nekev under it, a cave under it that was full of, you know, Amis of dry Dam, right? So if you there's around seven opinions, and if you dray it in every which way according to each opinion, almost any place you walk, you're walking into a suffix of for sure an Issa Drabanan, maybe an Issa Deraisa for Nashim, right? Somebody who's a Balkari, and maybe an Issa Deraisa of Karis. So for the mitzvah of the questionable mitzvah of going up there, of kibbutz, showing the goyim that was still in charge by bringing a few people up there and having the police, is it worth being nichnas into an issa, a sophic issa deraisa of karis? I mean, it's like sort of playing Russian roulette with a loaded gun and saying, you know, I'm pretty sure that this is it. I mean, there's a 1 in 7 chance that I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm going to blow my brains out. But if I am, I'm going to be mekayim mitzvahs kibbutz Eretz Yisrael. Is that worth it?
Okay, so obviously it wasn't clear what I said earlier, and again, I don't know how much we matzliach to give over this clarity over the phone, but every time I gave a shiur on this, we handed out maps with pictures, so it's something that you have to really visualize to be able to see. But again, we work with two mahalchim. Kodim kol, there's a mesorah tzrufa, the kamer mekoyres, that say that the kodesh hakdashim is under the dome of the rack. Rav Goran's, and okay, so first of all, that's Samadhi that's against Rav Goran. We mentioned the Masorah earlier. The second thing that we work with is topography. In the 1860s, there were two major British explorers here, Charles Warren and Charles Wilson, and when they went to Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim always had a problem with how to get water to the city, so part of the way they were looking to figure out the solution, so they wanted to see how they got water to the Beit HaMikdash. So what they ended up doing was they dug down, there's about 40 boris scattered throughout the what we consider the Harabayas today, and they went into these boiras and they were exploring different things, looking at how they got water to different places. And Perch Kedei, they made a topographical map. In other words, they measured the actual bedrock of the mountain. Right after we know Beit HaMikdash was built on a mountain, Har Meriah. So they made a topographical map. And the highest point on the mountain is the rock inside there, the under the dome over there. It's not just a rock. It's the actual bedrock of the mountain. That's the highest point on the mountain. Now, critically, we have Makuris that tell us that the Kurdish Akdashim, Beit HaMikdash was built on the top of the mountain, and the Kurdish Akdashim was at the peak. It's took him in Yecheskel, in Yeshaya, that's where the Rosh Ahar, when Yosefus describes it, he says also that it was on the top of the mountain. But on top of that, even more astounding is, if you take the measurements, and we're not going to go through all the measurements, but we know that the Beit HaMikdash, when we came in, it wasn't just a flat plain. You go from the entrance and walk straight to the Kodesh HaKodashim. It was kama steps. The Rambam even shows a picture when he's describing it in the Mishnayos and Midos. Going up, you had first 12 steps into the Ezer's Nashim, and then you had the 15 steps going to the Ezer's Yisro, then another 3 steps into the Heichel, and then another 3 steps into the Kodesh HaKodashim. And the only place, we show this very clearly on the slideshow, we try putting the mikdash in different spots on the mountain. The only place where the measurements of the Harabayah, of the base of mikdash fit exactly with the topography of the mountain, even begin to fit, is if you put the Kurdish Hakdashim under the dome of the rock. Anywhere else you put it, if you put it, for example, like Rav Golan, that's the Mokom Mizbeach, that's the highest part of the mountain, you already start going down. And we don't find anything the Mishnah is saying that from the Mizbeach to the Kurdish Hakdashim, they were going down steps.
Let me tell you what the response is, okay?
Yeah.
If you look at those who argue under Advaz, and there's many, they say that it says that when they were by the Churban Abayis, Meheri Yibana, this is the week of, you know. Yeah, so it says, and it says, Oru, Oru, Ad Hayasaidba. They tried to dig up the entire rock to get rid of it. They did tremendous damage, so we don't know what was the highest point. For all we know, and I think that in the Vatican they say that there's a rock that they say they dug out that was a piece of the Evan Shasiya. But that's what the Torah says. Aru aru, what are you saying?
Okay, as stay tuned with the Dava. Kodem Kol, we find Poskim Malacha in the Kaft of Aferich when he's describing someone asked the Mishnah about davening on the Eastern Wall. First, today is Tshuva. He says that we could. So he's claiming over there the Eastern Wall is maybe the wall of the Azor, the Har HaBayis. He comes as far as the Har HaBayis, but he says first today that you know, and we don't have to be worried that maybe the topography of the mountain that Shenechal Min Ahar, that part of the mountain was eaten out, because it's not something that's mistaken. There's also a Tshuva in the Tshuva Tayyavit, which says the same thing. That Eimer Niach, that things changed. And second of all, again, the Svara, I mean, you have to understand, in those days, to go and start changing a mountain, eating out the rock, was not a simple feat. And to go and assume that they could be, maybe they hacked away a few things here and there, they, you know, when they took down the walls completely, but to go and assume that they mamish changed, that we used to go up and now goes down, and we used to go down and now goes up, again, it's not so logical to assume that. I mean, if you're going to start assuming these things, maybe the cloud, this is not Har Meriah. Maybe it's a different. Maybe they took the whole mountain down.
The walls are there from the time of Herodotus. We know that, right? The question is, what damage was done to the mountain? So on that we have where it says that they said Siya in Kesavet Tichares. What we know is Aruwar. They tried to rip it out. Aruwar, the Yisaidba means they tried to rip out the whole thing and bring it back with them.
Yeah, so what I want, just one thing.
According to Josephus, there were 2 million Roman soldiers there. It's a pretty small area, right? The whole area is Tafkofama by Tafkof. It's a little bigger than Tafkofama. I mean, to say that they could have, if they built the pyramids, which is, you know, look at the blocks of stone of the Kaisel Hammurabi. It's so hard to imagine that they took a few feet off the mountain. I don't know.
I just don't see it
as a compelling argument.
Yeah, no, I can't prove to you that they didn't touch the mountain of the Chlau. I'm personally just saying that based on all the Messiah that we have, if you put all these Nekudas together, to then come and assume that there was a drastic change to the Har is not so logical, and we also see that two Poskim Ra'aloch actually didn't assume that either. Another thing I wanted to say, Tzirin Kassar Tichar. So some of the Farshim say, that Tzirin Kassar Tichar, the Pshat is, in those days, the Sada was outside of the ear. The act of turning something into a field was a way of taking it down from its chashiv as being mevazet, and it doesn't mean some people think tearing the chashiv. I mean, they made it flat. The idea wasn't flat necessarily. The idea was just that horses or the cows should plow over there, and that was the bazillion to the mokum. The lav dafka means that they flattened out the whole place like a field. And I mean, we see today it's not a flat place, so they clearly didn't do that. To say that maybe X amount of, again, to go and say the area that you want to say that maybe the mountain was taken off, we're still talking about hundreds of tons of stone. In order for that to be lower than the Evan Shasiya, the Evan Shasiya right now in the Dome of the Rock juts out. It's about 2 meters higher than the actual floor of that place, and altogether it's 744 meters above sea level. And from on the eastern side, the Aliyah from when you're walking next to the eastern wall up to the Evan Shasiya is about 22 Amis. So it's a very big difference. It's hard to see that until you've actually been on the Har HaBayis. The steps, basically the Dome of the Rock is in a platform that's referred to as the Ramah, which means an uplifted area. There's an area all around it that's completely uplifted. It's about, I would say, in some places, maybe about 30 feet higher than the actual, I'm thinking in meters, but 30 higher than the place that you're standing. So it's uplifted all around it, and that is like the peak of the whole area. So again, I mean, to assume that Pitom somewhere over there, a whole area, a whole chunk behind that was cut off, Ranir Taiti is not very logical. But I can't completely prove that.
All I'm saying
that.
Is,
right.
Rabbi Gorin believed that it was the Makom HaMizbeach, and he said he went down there and he found the blood. So certainly, my question is this mitzvah of kibush, which I think we would agree is sort of a shaky mitzvah, because do you really own it? I mean, you already have kibush. You're saying a shtickle Torah. Then is going up there with a few people called kibush? Like, I don't know, if I go up there with just Kaivish Eretz Yisrael, is it worth being nichnas? It's a suffix of kuris once you start placing the makom of the mikdash and all the different shittos, the way it is to for this dubious mitzvah of kibush? That's my question.
So again, two things. First of all, kibush is just one thing among many aspects we didn't even get to, we started mentioning Hakrovas Karbonis. If you believe there's a mitzvah, say of Hakrovas Karbonis is manazeh, and
so you believe you could find the makam hamizbeach. We can't even agree. Nobody agrees on where the makam of the kaidish hakadashim is. You're gonna what the Rambam says it's mechuvin biyoser, and it was alpinovi. You're gonna get somebody there and now say this is the makam hamizbeach.
Okay, so we know that the makam hamizbeach was mechuvin la'adama, and we could dig down there and find remnants of the Sid from the original Mizbeach. And even if we can't, again, I'm not saying everyone's going to be masking to everything. I'm just saying that if Klaius will start to be Isaac in the Sugya and Rabbor Abonim start being Isaac in the Sugya, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, I believe it's a mitzvah that we can be Mekayim. And they'll come to a certain maskana on the measurements of the Makam HaMikdash and the Meva based on those measurements. So we'll be able to measure where the Mizbeach is. The Baruch is that even if
I just want to say one thing, the Mizbeach is 32 Amos by 32 Amos.
The halacha is that all you need is that one Amo by Amo should be within that Makom HaMizbeach, according to many Shittas.
It's not many Shittas, it's two Shittas. Rav Rishonim don't agree with that. The Rambam certainly doesn't agree with that. Nobody's going to bring... I just can't imagine anybody's going to bring Karbonis.
Void. I mean, again...
if you bring a Karbonis... The Rebbe sent a letter asking
him to be Mishtano. What?
If every time you bring a Karbonis... And what are you going to do for a Shamir? What are you going to do for Tumah unless you're going to just bring Karbonis?
Baruch Hashem, there's already camel people being Isaac and Sugis. I haven't gone through everything myself. That was this whole color that we had, Bereshit too, and we actually... meaning Allah Lamaisa, the Allahs of Torah Adumo. And there's people working on this. There's someone who wrote a whole Maimir on the Shamir. It's not so partial that it was a worm. Some say that it maybe was a chemical. Again, I'm not a buck in these sukkis. I've just given you my mockum. If you want someone that's holding much more, there's a buck named, there's a guy named Yeshua Yankelevich. You could talk to him, the Shefa. But again, what I'm here to talk about is let's be Isaac in these Imanim. Let's get involved in these Imanim.
I think for sure you should start a kill to be Isaac in these inyanim, but to go up and to be nichtes and to sveikis of the rices and drabonans and karis sounds to me like a very radical way to be Isaac in a sugya and learning.
So I hear your point, but sure, again, I hold the place where the people going, there's zichah no sofik that they're going into the Makom HaMikdash, even if we can't be mevar 100% where the Makom HaMikdash is, which I believe we could, but the place where they're going right next to the wall on the outside, they're sticking to the wall on the entire Masnul Kemat, they're definitely not going into the Makom HaMikdash because we know the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built next to the wall.
Let me ask you something. The fact that almost all the Gedolim, including Rav Kook, who was the Rishon LeTzion, he was the father of this whole movement, said that you're not allowed to go up because of Achshash of Issa Daraisa. I mean, the fact that Rav Shmuel Salant and the Imre Bina, and that for 1,000 years the Jews didn't go there, does that, I'm looking at the Azhara L'Rabim, the Eis Rabbeinu HaGadol Goyin Yisrael Avram Yitzchak HaKayin Kuk Shlita, Me'a Isser HaChomer Shalaknisa L'Makam HaMikdash V'Harabayis. Does it bother you at all, or those who are Oyla, that for 1,000 years, as it's brought in to Chuvis from Rav Hai Goyin was afraid to go on there, that Rav Kook, Rav Shmuel Salant, or the Imre Bina, to say nothing of the contemporaries, Rabbi Yashiv, Bechol Deimei, didn't go. Does that bother you at all?
Okay, so Kodim Kol definitely is something that bothers me, and it wasn't like I just went up to Har HaBayis. I woke up one morning and decided to go to Har HaBayis. I did a lot of research learning the Sugya, and I actually spoke to Rabbonim. I personally have a psak from Avzal Nechamya Goldberg, who's actually considered a pretty big Pesach today. He's aided by Rav Shlomo Zalman.
He's a giant Pesach.
There's a number of other Rabbonim that I've talked to that have given psak. Unfortunately, they still don't want the names to be mentioned, so I can't say. Maybe on a different occasion. But there is a small amount of Haredi Rabbonim that permit going to Har HaBayis. Rav Yitzchak Brand, Shlita, actually goes himself. And on top of that, there's countless Mizrahi Rabbonim today, even Talmidim of Tzvi Yehuda, that go to Har HaBayis. And from what I understand, the main reason why they go is it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that something has changed in the last 50 years. And in Sri Yehuda's time, it was very clear that it was under Israeli control, and today it's not so clear, and therefore they hold that we have to do everything we can to show that it belongs to the Yidden. And also another major thing that has changed, that in those days, and this is a major nekuda, what happened was in 67 when they captured Har HaBayis, so people from all across the country came running to the Har HaBayis, chilonim, tourists, archaeologists, people, and people had no clue of anything, halachas, places. There was b'chlal no research done on the topic came out because it wasn't till then, it wasn't the day. And so Rabban saw this going on, and this is, again, this is one theory that I was told about the clues of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon said, you know what, we have to scare people off, we have to put a standstill and everything, and they came out to everybody, also don't go to Har HaBayis. But it was actually a way of preventing, you know, this mad rush to the Temple Mount without any idea of anything. Baruch Hashem, in the past 50 years, even though there still has never been a proper archaeological dig in Har HaBayis, but there has been many people, Sai archaeologists and Sai Tamil Chachamim, being Oisik and Sugya, Abzam and Kolin, and Kama others, Sefer HaMor that was put out, a very wonderful Sefer on the Sugya. And Baruch Hashem, people thought there's many more people today, again, and as I said earlier, almost everyone I know going to Har HaBayis is going to Halacha, is taking the proper measures to repair themselves, and is making sure they're not going into any places which is B'chlal HaSofik. So I think definitely to sit and say that, you know, nothing has changed from now to 50 years later is a big mistake.
Well, Rabbi Rayburn, it's been certainly very interesting, and it's nice to see somebody who has such a hava, such a chibas tzion. Mehera yibana migdash, thank you for joining us.
Amen. Ashikarach, thank you.
We have on the phone with us, from Yerushalayim, the holy city of Yerushalayim, Mehera yibana migdash, Rav Nachman Kahana. Rav Nachman is the Mechaba of 15 volumes of Mei Menuchais al Taisvis, on Taisvis, which in many yeshivas, I remember growing up, I saw it. He was the Rav of Chazon Yecheskel, a Rav in the Muslim quarter for 32 years. He has many smichas, including from Rav Avram Yafin from the Vardik, the great Yigoyin Rav Avram Yafin in Vardik in New York. Welcome, Rav Kahana.
Shalom, Gemar Chatima Tova.
So, Rav Kahana, many Americans come up to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tovim. And the question is, besides coming for, I don't know, to see their children or to go to the Kaisel, or is there any inyan of Aliyah L'Regel b'zman hazeh?
I'd like to widen the issue of what you're speaking about, Aliyah L'Regel. It's my opinion on what I've seen, that there are about 1 million Orthodox or observant Jews in the United States, of which the vast majority, have never visited Medina Yisrael. I would even imagine that the vast majority of Rabbanim never even visited Eretz Yisrael. So you're talking about Aliyah L'Regel, for Tabat coming and going for Amot and the Holy Land. That's number one.
Okay, I wasn't aware it was so high. I mean, I personally learned in Eretz Yisrael for 5 years, and my family's been there on so many, many, many different occasions. But if that's the case, I certainly agree with you. So we say tzion hivet dairish ela, you know. So we have to be dairish tzion.
When someone comes to Eretz Yisrael, it's called aliyah. Going aliyah, right? And
right.
The word aliyah is used in another context. When someone is called up to Torah, he gets an aliyah to the Torah. When someone is called to the Torah, the Gabbai doesn't say, whoever wants Chamishi, come up. He walks over, what's your name? Ploni, Ben Ploni. In other words, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, your name is called out in the Shemaim. And even a woman gets an aliyah, because your name is not called out, you don't come here. That's the Gzera Shava Aliyah, L'Aliyah.
Uh-huh.
We spoke about people coming here for Yom Tov. Let's talk about that.
So now let's go to the other question, Rav Kahana. Is there an inyan of Aliyah L'Regel b'zman hazeh?
There's no Aliyah L'Regel and there's no Beis HaMikdash. And there's no Beis HaMikdash. But there is another inyan. The another inyan is to go on Har HaBayis b'chlav all year long. Because even though there's no chiyuv, I once said a thing about Akedah Yitzchok. Akedah Yitzchok is a very, very strange thing. Yitzchok Avinu was not commanded by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Abadinus commanded Kasna bin Khadkhan Shafit at Yitzchok. But Yitzchok was not commanded the clown. Yitzchok could have said to his father, Abala, I don't want to. If I don't want to, so on Chachmana Patra, you're off to oath. The Gamano. Why did he agree, Yitzchok? Yitzchok agreed for one simple reason. He said, I was not commanded, but I know this is the Rotzon Hashem. If this is what Hashem wants, I've got to do it. I don't have to wait for a command if I know this is the Rotzon Hashem. Now, there's no mitzvah of Nehal HaRegel today, but the Rotzon Hashem, the Jew should be in Eretz Yisrael, should be in Eretz Yisrael, should be in Yerushalayim. That's Rotzon Hashem. That's also like this nebulous idea of Das Torah, whatever that is. There's Rotzon Hashem also. And I go to our bayit. I try to do this once a month because that's Rotzon Hashem. The Jew should be all over Eretz Yisrael and not give up the holiest place. That's actually the only place which is really kadosh. Give it over to the worst of our enemies. Of course, you go according to halacha, go to mikveh, and put on Yom Kippur shoes, and we only go into a place where we know. This mikveh was not there. But there's the inyan of Rotzon Hashem.
But Rav Kahana, given that there are so many opinions as to where the Migdash was, it's exceedingly difficult to find any place that everybody would agree is not a Makom HaMikdash. Based upon that, why be nichnas into a suffix when there are so many shittas? And if you start designing the bias, I mean, I've spent hours on, I would say weeks on it. When you overlay all the different shittas, it's practically impossible to find some place where it's lekulei alma. Why be nichnas yourself into such a suffix?
I'll give you two answers. Number one, we don't know where the Azora was. We know where it was not. So we go on to a place where it cannot be. We go a wide periphery around Harabait, where it's not shy of a cloud that the Azora was over there. Number one. Number two, Harabait has two parts to it. One is bedrock, and around it is the fill-in that hoarders filled it in. Because it used to be 500 amot by 500 amot, and now it's a square, now it's a rectangle. Now, on the base of Mikdash of Hordes, let's take Hordes, it was a building of Mea Amot, which is 50 meters. 50 meters is about 25 stories. It was not made from aluminum and glass. It was made from like the stones of the Kotel. It was heavy. It cannot stand on landfill. It can only stand on bedrock. The bedrock is in the middle. We only go on the landfill. We're not shy ever to be the base of Mikdash. And so that's what we do. We're not fools. And we're Yerushalayim. And we know exactly what there is. There's many Gedolim, Rabbanim that go in our bayit. Many Rabbanim say, duh, but I never heard, and I spoke to many Rabbanim, why not to go in our bayit. It's one of these games, it's only because if you go, someone else will go, you know where to go, he doesn't know where to go. But that's not a reason that to give over the Harabite to the modern Nazis of our time.
Well, those who don't go, I would say that there's a few reasons. First of all, there are sfeikis on almost, again, you have all the different accounts. The Azara is in 12 different areas, according to the different opinions. And Azara could be a shail of an Issacharis, right? Additionally, if people start going up, you go to the mikveh, the other person may not go to the mikveh, right?
Mm-hmm.
A third is that this is already a political reason, but, you know, often people go up to the Harabayas and it creates a riot. So somebody gets killed because somebody decided to go up to the Harabayas. So I think both halachically and hashkafically there are reasons not to go.
Michael Shah, don't go.
No,
that's your opinion. Don't go. If you don't understand my opinion, like, sure, don't go.
I understand the other opinion well. I'm just, it's like, if somebody doesn't want to get into a makom hasafik, there's certainly sfeikis here.
There's no sfeik here, Bechlad, because the reasons I told you, that the Azara had to be on the bedrock. Because it cannot be on landfill in order to fill it in. We only go on the landfill, which is a wide periphery on Harabayas. is not shy about the building of 100 amot to be on the land and so forth. The question is, on the bedrock, maybe it's 10 meters this way and 5 meters that way. Well, it could be the surface. We don't even go there, Buffalo. We don't even come next to it.
But the Ezra's Noshim could have been on the could be not on bedrock.
No, the Chorban could be. Ezra starts first as a day that after the Chorban is not Ezra's Noshim, don't have the Chum anymore. It's only one of the basic mikdash. That's one day. But anyway, we don't even go near the Ezra's Noshim. Ezra's Noshim is to the east, and we go a wide berth around that whole area. But I say again, you can go when to go, don't have to go. It's like Baklal and everything, so Baklal. Some people go, some people don't go. This has to do with it's a Meshicha, it's an attraction of the Neshama. Well, people are very different. All people are different. Some people don't see it, some people, I'm assuming, don't feel it, some people do feel it. And that's what I remember when I first came to Eretz Israel, and there's a shayla about saying Hallelujah to Baruch, I had a shayla. I came here 55 years ago. I went to Adam Gadol and I said, what's the halacha about saying Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut? It's a bracha. He says to me, it depends what you feel in your heart. If you feel the Ziyad Hashem and the days of the Mashiach, then say a bracha. If you don't feel it, don't say a bracha. I think that's the smartest thing that I heard in that minyan. And some people feel now the Keshet Arabai, it's important. Some people don't feel it. And that's what it is. That's the way people are.
And do you think that there's any danger of inciting Arabs by going up to the Harabayas?
There's more danger of someone getting killed by getting into a car and driving from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv.
Okay. Now, given that the Lashon HaRambam is by Aliyah L'Regel and Rashi, that there's a mitzvah to be Oyle L'Regel L'Toich HaAzara, right? Would you say that there's any inyan to go actually into the Azara during Aliyah L'Regel to maybe be Mekayim it on a Daraisidik away?
No, Chas V'Chalila. First of all, the mitzvah of Riyah is Mechayim to be after being a Korban. There's no such thing as coming to the Azara without a Korban. And no Korbanot today, so there's no mitzvah of Riyah B'Chlal.
There is an opinion in the Yerushalmi, according to the way Meir Simcha says, it would be a machlekes Bavli or Yerushalmi, whether it's two mitzvahs. One, Aliyah with a, in other words, Bavli seems to put them together, and Yerushalmi makes them as two separate mitzvahs. One is Aliyah L'Regel, and one is to bring a carbon. So according to Meir Simcha, going up to the Harabayas, even without a carbon, according to Yerushalmi, going up to the Azara would be a mitzvah without the carbon as well. Would it make sense that...
Listen, the Bavli is also deposited to Bavli. If it's two dinim, if it's one din, or whatever it is, we don't go today how about into the Azara. But first of all, we're Tomei. We're Tomei Meis. A Tomei Meis can go to Harabayit. You can't go to the Azara.
The Ezra's Nashim would only be in the Sidra Bonan. So the question is, would you say that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel would be doicha, this is a drabbanan of Knesset of Lazara?
Doicha the Azara is a drabbanan, it's a deraisa today. Except for the right, there's no
chorus. Okay. Are you machmir like the Bikuri Yankif to daven only in the old city during Sukkot so that you could, according to the Bikuri Yankif, be a yaitza lulav midaraisa during all days of Yom Tov?
That's Shitas Rambam. Question, what is called Mikdosh? According to Moshe Foshim, Mikdosh is based on Mikdosh, and Yatika is Medina. But the Rambam says that Yatika is a din of Mikdosh. Now, Kimin is a Gabe, Abraminim is a Doraisa, I'm Machma. That, for example, there's a Psula, one of the Minim. According to Moshe Foshim, The halakha is only on the first day. The other days you can even have an esrei which is chosir. But I'm machne. I like the Rambam, the era tikkah, the mikdash, especially era that I grow, I live in. Because even the old city, not all of it is in the kudosh. Only to a certain area, even in the Jewish quarter. And I happen to live in that area for 41 years. No, when most people are machmeh that I know, when they tell a machmeh, they that's all the days of the of Sukkot, you machmeh abamina.
Now, are you? Do you have some people? Since there was a mitzvah arava of the Migdash, besides the mitzvah lulav, the makbid to take an arava, like the Lashon Rambam is halacha l'mayish misinai mevim the Migdash arava cheres chutz me arava shabalulav. Now, and do you know anybody who's noyig like that bizman hazeh?
No, I never heard, I never saw anything like that. No. So din in Mizbeach, you have to bring it, you have to take it from Motza and bring it to the Mizbeach and stand it up, and or some people say have to hold it. But there's no Mizbeach, there's no din of Rava. You have a Rava and a Lulav, and you have a Rava and a Shana Rava. But what you're asking, I never heard and never saw.
Are there any other chumris or mitzvahs that you could be Mekayim if you... if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Yerushalayim, bizman hazeh, that somebody in America would not be able to have, particularly over Yom Tov?
There is a very big mitzvah that we can do that people chutzas cannot do, and that's go to the army and to defend Eretz Yisrael. If you're not here, you can't do it, and that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. To defend Eretz Yisrael, excuse me, yeah.
Which mitzvah would you put it in?
Defending Eretz Yisrael, because nefesh. It's a mechemes mitzvah today, and that mitzvah only we can do here. And I can't do many people not here cannot do that mitzvah of defending Eretz Yisrael.
And those who hold it, it's not a mechemes mitzvah. Do you know why they would think that way?
Take away the army for one day, and you'll find out if it's a mechemes mitzvah. There are people out there, 350 million Arabs, just waiting to do their thing to us. But standing between us and between them, B'loshim B'nei Odom, is the army, B'loshim B'nei Odom. But it's certainly according to the definition of the Rambam, Lechem Mitzvah is Lazor, Neged Kor Tzar, Tzorer. We have a lot of Tzarim or Tzorim around us. And we're in an island of Kedusha within a sea of hatred. And
right.
I have a son who's a general in the army, a general. Matbit Kulka Chamura, from day number one. He was a Hesed student, Yeshiva Dar Golan, in the army already 28 years. He's a general. And protecting soldiers. Yeah.
Rabbi Kana, what do you say to all the B'nai Taira who say going to the army is a sakanas nefashis for people's ruchnias?
Going out in the street is a sakana for people's ruchnias. Everything is a sakana for ruchnias. They say, what's the major reason for death? Life. What's the major reason for divorce? Marriage. What's the major reason for a chet? It's you yourself. Yourself. There's so many, you have thousands today of from officers in the army, tens of thousands from soldiers. The guy, the person who becomes mekulkal in the army, what happened to him anyway? It'll take a little bit longer. The army is not out there to make you a friar. Army is out there to kill the enemy. That's what the job of the army is. And people are finding all kinds of excuses and here and there. It's very easy to find excuses when something is very difficult. But if you really believe, you have to join the army and make a difference.
And when you say very difficult, is the army very difficult?
I was in the army. I was in the army for 22 years in Miluim. The basic training is difficult, yes. And then sometimes the Miluim is difficult. Depends if you're in a fighting unit or you're not. If you're in a service unit, it's not difficult, except for basic training, which everyone has to do. But I was in the Air Force. I was in an anti-aircraft unit 30 days every year in Sinai, and it was difficult. But what? Doesn't matter if it's difficult or not. Being a Yid is difficult. But you get a feeling that you did something. You did something. When I was in the army, I gave shiurim in Sinai. When I was on top of a mountaintop with the anti-aircraft, with the cannons, I gave shiurim. Shabbos is Shabbos. I had a neiruv. They can do.
Well, Rav Kahana, thank you very much for sharing. Are you still a Rav today in the old city?
Right now, my shul was, the building was taken over by some other people, Jews from Gruzia, after 32 years, and I retired. I'm really not so young anymore, so I came just at the right time. But I give shiurim. I learned the kol tzar money. I never took money, a penny, for learning in the kol. I was the head of Rabbi Goren's kol for 3 years, chief rabbi. Never took a penny. I'm against taking money for learning Torah. It's not the way to do it. You don't do that. I want to wish everybody, all of your listeners, if I said something which may not have appeared to someone, well, we have to be talented one of the other. And the Gemar Chatzimah Torah to you and to all your listeners. And you should bring the voice of Torah. Everyone's listening to your program.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Kahana. A good Kibenshjar. We have on the phone with us, from Muncie, New York, Rabbi Yosef Gavriel Bechafer. He's an author, machaber of many Sfarim, Bigdei Sheishan, Baba Basra, Erevin, etc. He's also a Talmud of the Mir, so there's a certain kinship we feel there, Mir in Yerushalayim. He's a Rav, for many years he was a Rav and a Magid Shir, and he speaks a very, you see him all over the internet, a frequent speaker. Welcome, Rabbi Bechafer.
Thank you very much.
So we had on the air a few minutes ago a very impassioned Avreich from Eretz Yisrael who runs an organization called Tel Talpiyos, who have, you know, demarked clearly on the Har HaBayis what they believe to be areas both on the very north and on the very south, as well as on the Chaima that surrounds it, where they believe that according to you can walk because they're distant enough. We know that the Har HaBayis was Taf Kuf Amal, Taf Kuf Amal, and this is way beyond the Taf Kuf Amal, Taf Kuf Amal. And even if it is, they go to the mikveh, so except for the, you know, the Ezras Yisrael, and it's for certain people, the Ezras Nashim, you are allowed to go. So they clearly have demarked, and they have many Rabbanim who agree with them, including, you know, from you're from Muncie, I believe. Rabbi Tendler goes up to the Har HaBayis. And I would like to, as somebody who is an expert on this topic, I would like to know what is your feeling about this?
Well, I certainly agree that there are places in the extreme north and extreme south which were not originally part of the Har HaBayis. There's an article written in Tchumin, an Israeli Torah journal, several years ago by, I forget who it was, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak Shilat, if I recall correctly, in which he actually drew a map of the permitted areas. And indeed, they are the definitely permitted areas. And they are indeed a perimeter both on the north and on the south, which definitely were not part of Har HaBayis originally. I agree with that.
Okay, notwithstanding that you have, let's say, I know the Brisker Rav wouldn't put his fingers in the Kaisel because he believed that it could be part of the Har HaBayis. And I believe that there is, I forgot which sheet it is, I'm a little rusty, I apologize, who said that the southernmost Chaima is the Chaima of the Har HaBayis. I think it may have been the Radvaz or it was, I forgot the Kafter of Aferach, one of the two who said that the southern...
There are several places where the Kodesh Kodoshim could have been on the Har HaBayis, and where the Azara was. And even with the place here at the southernmost likely spot, there is a little strip, I believe, at the south, which is still would be permissible. I'm not familiar with the archaeology to tell you how it squares away with the archaeology of the current wall, but there is research to indicate that that would be the case.
So given that, would you go up to the Har HaBayis?
Absolutely not.
And why would that be?
There are several reasons why. First of all, I want to not cast aspersions upon people who go up to the Har HaBayis. Many of them, I'm sure, are motivated by motivations which are l'shem shamayim and sincere, although I believe misguided. And several reasons for that. The first and primary reason is that even though some people will limit themselves to where this organization goes, the vast majority of people do not limit themselves to that area. In other words, they will go with the opinion that the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Eben HaShisiyah, was under the Dome of the Rock, which is much further north, and therefore they will go into areas of the Har HaBayis, which are, according to the Shitas of the Kaftor of Aferach, who is an early Achron, and Rebbe Margolios, who is a late Achron, are considered part of the Azara. These are these Achronim held that directly behind the Kosel HaMaarovi that we have today is where the Azara was. I believe if you go into the tunnel, you will see a place where it says that there is that's opposite the Kodesh Kodashim. I don't know if that's opposite the southern position or the northern position where it would be, but that area where the southern position would be and where certainly there are Gdolei Achronim hold that it was, is a place where people go after they go to the mikveh, where they go assuming that the Emunah Shisiyah is the Emunah Shisiyah, and we have no Masorah to that effect. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that although there are many people who do go up to the Har Bayis after proper tefillah, nevertheless, they are forcing other people, policemen, soldiers, to protect them who were not going to undergo tefillah, and even they undergo tefillah are not necessarily going to be able to limit themselves when they impose order to the areas which are permitted for people to go to after they went to the mikveh. And even if they're not Jewish policemen, there's still a din of lifnei iver. One is not allowed to place a stumbling block of having a non-Jewish policeman go into an area in which he is not allowed to go, virtually liable to the death penalty. So therefore, there's an issue here of if you know what you're doing, you are having an impact on people who don't know what they're doing and causing them to stumble and fall.
Rabbi Becher, let me just interrupt too. Rabbi Becher was saying is that just like a Yisrael is not allowed to into certain parts of the thing, a non-Yisrael, we're on the air, is not allowed. I think it's past the Srug. So there are clearly demarked, am I right? I haven't learned Kalim and well, but I think it's past the Srug. An Eina Yehudi is not allowed to go. So he says you're being Oivel Lifnei Iver, and like the Gemara says in Nazir, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed. There's a din of Lifnei Iver by a goy too. You're not allowed to cause a goy to be Oivel Lifnei Iver, right? So both are for the Jewish and non-Jewish policemen, you'd be Oivel Nisar.
Yes, well, you're not allowed to cause. I think you misphrased that. You're not allowed to cause a goy to be over an Avera.
Yeah,
not the overlist neighbor. So yeah. That's reason number two.
Can I give you what we don't have him on the air now, but what he would possibly respond is that the soldiers have to keep order there. It's karav lepikuach nefesh. We would agree, right?
Not if they're not there.
I understand that. So, but if I do something that causes somebody to once you're there. The soldier or the policeman coming on, if somebody would come to you and say, Rabbi Bechafer, there's a group of Jews on the Temple Mount, and to keep the peace, I have to go up. I'm a Goyish policeman or I'm a Jew. Can I go up? I didn't go to the mikveh. You would say, of course, it's Bikuach Nefesh. So if I create a matziv where the other person is doing something that is halachically correct. There very likely isn't a din of lifnei iver because he's not doing anything wrong. I can't be able to lifnei iver.
It's not so simple that it's pikuach nefesh. In other words, having a certain amount of security there is not necessarily pikuach nefesh. It's in order to make sure that the people the Jews are separated from the people who might oppose them, and that really is just precautionary. It's not a pikuach nefesh thing. If there was a pikuach nefesh, we only believe is when the pikuach nefesh is imminent. If I may give an example, a Rosh Yeshiva of mine once said that, in theory, it's possible to allow painting the stripes on the highways on Shabbos because when you paint stripes on the highways, you are saving lives. So therefore, why not be able to paint the stripes so you'll save somebody's life later on? I believe the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about building a hospital on Shabbos.
But respectfully, I think that's the answer to that would be is it's not called, you're not allowed to be Doicha Shabbos in that case because it doesn't have to be done on Shabbos. You could paint the stripes on Sunday and you could build a hospital on Sunday.
But you're going to save somebody earlier if you have it built earlier. Why not work around the clock?
Well, we don't know that that's the case. I mean, I'm saying that's too speculative. You could do it. Work double shifts. Work double shifts, not on Shabbos, right? Which is really what the Noida Behuda says about going to medical school on Shabbos. not something that has to be done. It's true that it's pikuach nefesh. Work Sunday night very, very late, and then you don't have to do it on Shabbos. Okay,
so
whatever. Continue, though.
This is not something which has to be done either. This is not something which there is a specific mitzvah to go up in Har HaBayis. There's nothing, no, there is no davening allowed on Har HaBayis by the authorities who are in charge there today. So I don't think that there's any head there to put yourself in a situation, Pikuach Nefesh, in this case, in order that other people should then have to come and defend you or protect you.
And what other reasons would you ask for it besides these two?
There's a third reason, which was given by Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, the chief rabbi, a couple of years ago, which is he held, I believe he used a strong language, which I don't know if I would use, but that people who go up into Har HaBayis are rofim. And again, I don't think, would not use that language myself, but he did, which means that if you go up onto the Har HaBayis, then Arabs will get upset and they will attack Jews, and not just you, who are the one who's willing to put your life in danger, let's say, but in random terrorist attacks throughout Eretz Yisrael. I believe that happened recently with the an attack in, I forget which town it was, in the Yehuda v'Shomron, I forget where it was, and at the time when he made this comment, there were car rammings which took place in Yerushalayim where people were killed, and perhaps you can take your life into your own hands. That is an interesting question in order to go up in Har HaBayis, but you can't take other people's lives into your hands.
What would you say, Rabbi Behafer, to the argument that there's a letter from the Rambam where it says that he came to Eretz Yisrael and he says he was oila to the Har HaBayis, right? And he was mispal b'bayis hagadol v'akadosh. It seems he went to the Ezra's Nashim, and he actually davened in the Ezra's Nashim. And it's a letter that's miyuchas to the Rambam. It's 1,000 years old, the letter. Nobody disputes its credibility. So the Rambam clearly did go up to the Har HaBayis. What would you say to that?
There are people who dispute its authenticity, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you that it's not clear where this Bayis HaGadol was, but let's say that it was on Har HaBayis. We know that the Alios Lonis Kachu, if you found a way of making a shul on Har HaBayis, which was above ground level, in other words, people never have to stand on the platform of Har HaBayis, then that would be permitted.
To my knowledge, historically, they never allowed a shul to be built on the Har HaBayis, right?
Well, he says it's in it. No, that's not true. There are several sources. I believe it's there is one source who says that there was a shul on Har HaBayis at the time. It's another Rishon, a much more obscure Rishon. I don't have it in front of me, but there is one Rishon who says, asserts that there was a shul on Har HaBayis.
So when the Rambam writes that he was Oyla La HaBayis HaGadol V'HaKadosh V'Spalalti, he means a shul.
I don't know if he means a shul, but if he means a shul, I'm saying that the shul can exist, but there are cheter on Har HaBayis as long as nobody goes down on the ground.
Okay, his language certainly would seem to be that he.
He doesn't say that he was on the ground.
Okay, but he clearly did it by finesse. But I'm saying he wasn't concerned about
because it might have been built into the air, might have been
the delineation,
like we know with the children who are supposed to do the Paraduma. You know, there are ways to build things where you won't come into contact with the physical platform of Har HaBayis and still will be in the airspace of Har HaBayis. There is no reason for helicopters to fly over Har HaBayis.
Rabbi Bechafa, I would just say that my only question about this is I know that in the Litta, we didn't like to make a kimtis, right? I know in Hungary, everything's with a kimtis. He's saying, the rabbi says he was oila l'habayis, I got a kaddish.
Right.
It must have been that there was a platform there and somebody built a shul there. I think that's more of a Polish terrorist than a Litvish terrorist. And the only reason I commented is because you went to Litvish yeshivas.
Right.
But it's
so,
not a...
Let me make this clear. First of all, I made a mistake when I just said, you can go a helicopter over Har HaBayis. That's not true. You can't go over a helicopter over Har HaBayis because...
Because it's a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah. So the, but what I want, what the Rambam did is an interesting issue, but it doesn't have to do with the three issues which I presented. In other words, A, that there are people who are, there are people going to go into questionable places. B, and maybe the Rambam knew exactly where it was, maybe at Thomas the Nicker. B, that you're causing, there is an issue of lishne iver. And C, that there is a potential response which is highly problematic and negative. So even if the Rambam went up, that doesn't have anything to do with the three considerations which I mentioned.
A point well taken, Rabbi Bechafer. Is there anything else about this topic that you would like to be meisif?
You know, the chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, from Shmuel Salant and then Rav Kook and then and beyond, all wrote Kol Kores, saying that is no Jew should ever go anywhere in Har Habayis, I think that obviously people today say, well, they didn't know, we have better sources, but I think this is the Tzitz Eliezer, if I'm not mistaken, goes so far as to call us a cherem kadmonim, that there is a prohibition which Anshei Yerushalayim always accepted upon themselves not to go up on Har Habayis, even in the perimeter which theoretically would be permitted. So therefore, even if the Rambam did go up, let's say, but since then there's been this ban which was universally accepted. So there is a strong minhag not to go up on Har Habayis, and you know, we're not matir kipnios that easily. Once the minhag becomes widespread and prevails, it's not so simple to be matir the minhag.
Rabbi Bechafer, thank you for laying it out in such clear and succinct terms. It was an honor to have you on with us.
A pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, Kolter. We have on the phone with us from Yerushalayim, Rav Yosef Greenwald, a Talmud of the Miri Yeshiva in New York. He's a dayan in the Badatz of Givazev and Beis Havad, and we'll be speaking to him about the inyan of Aliyah L'Regel Bizman Hazeh, as well as the concept of the famous Bikur Yaakov that talks about taking Dalad Minim in Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh. Welcome, Rav Greenwald.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav David.
Sir Rav Greenwald, we know that so many people, Americans, but, you know, Israelis as well, that Americans go to Yerushalayim for Sukkot. So the question is it just to visit their children in seminary, their krovim, or maybe have a nice vacation? Or is there an inyan of Aliyah L'Regel Bizman Hazeh? This that we know that, you know, it says in the Torah the concept of Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yira Kol Schurcha. Would that be Noeg Dafke Bizman Habayis or Bizman Hazeh as well? Can you give us a little bit of insight?
Let's start with halacha, you know, in a clear cut and dried fashion. Is there a mitzvah Bizman Hazeh V'Aliyah L'Regel? L'chayra, in straight halacha, the mitzvah V'Aliyah L'Regel is to be roya, the Gemara says in Chagiga Dav Zayin, the mitzvah is to be roya Pnei Ho'azorah. The Pashtus, that means to actually step foot in the Azorah. Whether it would be Shaykh, if it would be possible, if there wouldn't be the issue of Tumah, to go into the Har Habayis, Bizman Hazeh, to go all the way up to the Azorah, certainly one can't go Bizman Hazeh because of Tumah's mess. Whether there's a mitzvah to go, to be Oyler Regal without a Korban, Oyler's Rear, which we can't bring Bizman Hazeh, is in itself a discussion, but it's an academic discussion. It's a discussion between the Ridvaz and the Turi Evan discuss how to interpret Yerushalmi. But even without that, the mitzvah, as far as going up to the Azorah, l'chayr we can't be mekayim bizman. So that's the mitzvah. The Kadmonim do talk about such an inyan. The Tashvitz talks about it. There's a Marit that talks about it. They do talk, it would seem, more in the general sense of Kabbalah's Pnei HaShchina. That's what Chassam Seitzer says in the Tshuva. But in the straightforward mitzvah asemi deraisa, you know, chiyuv loisirul ponai reikam, that seems to be not. You know, the going to the kaisel. Is there any difference between going into the old city, which was Yerushalayim, and going up to the kaisel? Could be that if that's the tzur of the kabbalas pnei hashchina of being a kabbal, you know, coming as close to Rav Shalom as humanly possible in today's generation, then that would be a kiyum of that inyan.
Now, it's interesting. There's a tshuva from Reb Moshe Feinstein, who in Yeredeya Gimel, Kufcha Beid, where he says even further, he says that Aliyah L'Regel, not only, it has only when the Beis HaMikdash is built.
Pashtus. All those that speak about it, a general Indian of Kabbalah's Tanei, of being L'Regel, Bizman Hazeh, is somewhat of a chiddush. It's not clear what that's based on. The pashtus of the Gemara is that it has to be tmei azara, and it has to be in the setting of a built Beis HaMikdash, a mokum that's roy to bring karbonos. That's certainly the straightforward reading of the sugi.
So, Rabbi Greenwald, so it seems that the Iker mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, at least it's Mashman Rashi and the Lashon Rambam, is Likaneis L'Azara. Right? And
right.
And you mentioned that the Machlekes, that the Yerushalmi, according to the Taz, seems to say even without a carbon, there would still be a mitzvah. So let me ask you a question. Today, you know, you have the people who do go up to the Har HaBayis, and they feel that, you know, they know where the Azara is today. According to these people, would there be a mitzvah to go up on Yom Tov to be Mekayim Aliyah L'Regel?
The pashtus is that they're certainly not going to the Azara. Their whole claim is that they know exactly where the Azara starts and begins, where it starts and ends, and that's disputable. But they're certainly not going to the Azara. And if they're not going to the Azara, so then what's the difference between going up the Har HaBayis or standing by the Kaisel?
Well, so let's figure, to go into the Ezras Nashim, right, it's certainly not an Issa Daraisa. I think it's
You're halfway there, you're not in the Azara. That's not the mitzvah.
No. The Ezras Nashim would be considered Azara, right? So if there's no Isser Daraisa to go into the Ezras Nashim, would there be Mekayim Aliyah L'Regel Mi Daraisa?
Debatable.
Now, I do believe it's mashman that there is an Issa Drabanan to go into the Ezras Nashim for a Tamei Meis. But
for
some of the
pashas that were going to the Rabban, you certainly would not allow.
But certainly no Issa Daraisa.
Right. So that's the Gemara in Yevamos that talks about Issa Drabban. That would certainly preclude going in. We certainly can't get away from Tumas Meis.
But I don't know that there's a Heskim
no
in all the
Achronim. Over here.
I don't know that there's a Heskim in all the Achronim that Ezras Nashim is there's an Issa Midaraisa for a Tamei Meis. Assuming we know where the Ezras Nashim is, Bazman, as a created an interesting problem.
There's certainly an Issa Derabonon. There certainly is an Issa Derabonon. So that would certainly preclude going up. But, you know, the Ezras Nashim is certainly calling it too close. Do you know exactly where the Azara is, which is the old controversy, and that's why L'Migdam Milsa, it's already many hundreds of years, that Gedolei HaPoskim can say not to go up.
So now we know that the Tashbats and the Ran spoke about, I think they speak about it in respect to saying Birchas HaShamim for 60 days after Sukkot.
That even today there's such an, it's interesting, it's not clear in the Tashbits, if he's talking about the cut-and-dried mitzvah, straight halacha, or he's talking about the general, maybe there's an inyan deraisa of Kabbalah's Pnei HaShchina, like the Chassam Sofer says. It's not clear if that's deraisa, that's derabonon, maybe it's enough, the derabonon, zeichel ledavah, could we institute a zeichel ledavah? That's not, you know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to create a maisa mitzvah out of a derabonon, of taking lulav of kol shiva. You know, even though Deraisa is only a mitzvah of taking the lulav of the first day outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But could we institute it as a mitzvah? No. So all we have is a Zeichel HaDavar. The Tashbits really spoke, if you see over there, from a Hashkofa sense. The Ran as well is not clear if he means in straight halacha. Certainly no chiyuv.
Okay, so you're saying that from a Hashkofa sense, many of the later poskim seem to feel that there's an inyan to be to go down and see, to go to the Kaisel HaMaravi Bizman Azeh, and it's not clear, is it a Drabanan or a Aliyah L'Regel, or just sort of an Inyan Ba'alma?
That would be a good way of summarizing it, yeah.
Now what about, I know that Rabbi Yashiv, when I was the Bachar in Eretz Yisrael or Yungaman, he used to be medagdik to come to the Kaisel every day with his lulav, because of the chumrah of Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, Aruch Laner, who says that there's a din of netilas lulav all 7 days midaraisa in all of the old city of Yerushalayim. Could you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's very interesting that Rabbi Yoshev, the classic Ishu Alocha, embraced so strongly like you said, the chumrah of the Bikurei Yaakov when it's a chiddush. And, you know, there were many that argued on it. The Bikurei Yaakov says that when the Torah says, "Usmachtum lefnei Hashem lechechem shivas yom," which would lengthen the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, the Torah says, outside of Yerushalayim, the mitzvah is lechachem lechem bayoyim harishon, on the first day of Sukkot. Inside the Beis HaMikdash, Usmachtum lefnei Hashem lechechem, lefnei Hashem lechechem seemingly means that the mitzvah of 7 days is lefnei Hashem lechechem Beis HaMikdash. The Bikurei Yaakov posits, he suggests, that whenever the Torah says lefnei Hashem lekechem, the same way we have by Ma'aseh Sheni, by Achilas Kodshim Kalim, lefnei means in proximity. It doesn't have to be mamish ba'azor, it doesn't have to be mamish ba'abayit, in all of Yerushalayim. Obviously Yerushalayim that was, you know, to take the Luv and Esther Kol Shiva in Rechavia is not going to work. It has to be within the old city. It's not specifically by the Kaisel. Any place that's within the old city, Rav Eliyahu was very strongly, and you know, it took time to go and come. I mean, more so, you know, even in his extreme old age, he was Mesa Nefesh of Scheinberg, other Gedalim as well. What's interesting is that the Chiddush is exactly that. It's a Chiddush of the Bikurei Yaakov. It's not clear if the Smachtum Lefnei Hashem Lekechem, that Yerushalayim is an extension of Kedushas HaMikdash, but let's say there is no Bizman Azeh, unfortunately, there is no Smachtim in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not possible to go in. So how could you say that there would be a mitzvah in Yerushalayim if the celebration, the commemoration of Simcha Lefnei Hashem in Yerushalayim is not extending outward from the Beis HaMikdash? There's nobody there in the Beis HaMikdash being Sameach Lefnei Hashem.
I think his main point to bring is from the Yerushalmi is to just to say that Lefnei Hashem Lekechem is a euphemism for Yerushalayim, that anybody who lives in the old city of Yerushalayim is called, and that's where he brings a raya from the Yerushalmi.
Right.
So what are the questions they ask on the Bikurei Yaakov? Like, it seems that he has a good point.
The main question in logic is what I just said now. The mitzvah of Lefnei Hashem, meaning Yerushalayim, is that Yerushalayim is an extension of the old city. Yerushalayim is an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. In which case, if there's no celebration of Simcha Lefnei Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, because we can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, so then Yerushalayim can't be an extension of that which is non-existent. If you want to look for a kasha, a textual kasha, the kasha that Remei Simcha in the Chedusha HaSameach has, says Rabbi Yechim and Zakei was Misakin Shivas Yom, which we take the lulav of 7 days, as a Zeicha. Zeicha means something used to exist, and it doesn't exist anymore. Says, why doesn't it exist anymore? All over Yerushalayim, you take the lulav, Shivas Yomim. Elamai means only in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah of Shivas Yomim, Bizman HaZeh. That's the taina of the Meir Simcha. That's a straightforward question from the Sugis.
And I'll add on to that an interesting question that the Gris Meisher, Moshe Feinstein, asks in the Yeridayis and Samach Gimel. He says, he brings that the Gemara in Sukkah that says that when the Beis HaMikdash was Mekayim, Hayu kol ha'am melichin l'laveim l'harabayis b'Yerushalayim. Right? And the Gemara says, V'loy l'bati k'niyas, only to the harabayis. Ramesh asked, why did they have to bring it to the harabayis, according to Ramesh Simcha? Any place in Yerushalayim.
Point
good.
Well made. Yeah, point well made. So it's a chiddush, but Rav Eliyashiv Mitnei Chavivus HaMitzvah embraced that practice very strongly.
Now, what would be the nafgamina? Would there be nafgaminas la'alacha if it was a deraisa or a drabanan?
Yes, that's very important, because the mitzvah of Shivas Yomim, we know, has to, if there's a mitzvah midrabanan, then the lulav that you take doesn't have to be your lulav. It's only the first day, let's say, if you're borrowing somebody's lulav, that you has to be lochem. The Torah says, lochachem lochem. The mitzvah of Shivas Yom Derabonon that we perform does not have to be lochem. If you're usmachtum lefnei Hashem lekechem, the pashtus is that mitzvah has all the conditions of the mitzvah lochachem lochem. The esrik has to be sholem. You have to be koinen, and people want to be mekayim that chumah. Is something that should be pointed out publicly. People come to the old city, they take a lulav and esrik from somebody, they don't have in mind to be koinen the lulav and esrik, and that's a problem. Because if you hold that there's a chiyuv of the deraisa when you're standing in the old city, then that chiyuv deraisa, the lulav and esrik have to be yours. That's very important.
So is it fair to say, Rabbi Greenwald, that all people coming up to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, besides seeing their relatives, have an opportunity to do two mitzvahs, one possibly a deraisa, both possibly deraisa, but certainly, you know, a drabanan. One would be to be oile l'regel, which is actual to make a point of going to the kaisel and to have kavana that they're doing it al inyan of aliyah l'regel, not just because they want to go to put in a kvittel. And beis, should they have the kayach to actually daven in the old city during the days of Chol HaMoed?
100%. 100%. It's a tremendous opportunity. And so,
well, thank you very much.
As well as the experience.
As well as the experience. Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Greenwald. Meheira Yibana. Meheira Yibana, Beis Migdashein. We should all be Zaycha, Lechel, Menazvachem, and Apsachem, and to be, and to be Mekayim, the Zayin Yomim, Lefnei Hashem, Alekechem.
Amen, v'amen. The Shal shouldn't be Negei Halochem. I'm asking this year, we should all be there for the proper Kiyim, the Reis of Ismachim, Lefnei Hashem, Alekechem.
Amen. Thank you so much. Kalta.
Agus Yor.